Turn now to Isaiah. Again, last week we considered from Isaiah 50. Today, Isaiah 55. I'll read verses 1 to the end. Ho, everyone that thirsts, come ye to the waters, and he that has no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfies not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I've given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee, because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel. For he has glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and returns not thither, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. For you shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Thus far the word of God to us this morning. Dear congregation, you know the definition of insanity is to keep trying the thing that didn't work. Keep doing it, knowing it will not give what you expect it to give, and yet you keep trying it. And yet, that's often how we act. When we pursue things that we know, though they may be not bad in themselves, they may be even good, not satisfied. God created us. Psalm 37 says it very plainly. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will fulfill the desires of your heart. If a wire is crossed, and we're not the only ones, we see it time and again, the people of Israel did the same thing. It's in our text that we hope to consider this morning with you, with God's help, before we partake of the Lord's Supper. The first two verses of Isaiah 55. Ho, everyone that thirsts, which I must say is everyone. We all thirst for something. We all yearn for that complete, perfect satisfaction and contentment and happiness. So this word comes to all of us. Ho, pay attention. Everyone that thirsts, come ye to the waters. And he that has no money, come ye, buy and eat. Ye come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Thank you. Hi, Steve. Just started reading Isaiah 55, verse 1. I'll read it again. Ho, everyone that thirsts, come ye to the waters. And he that has no money, come ye, buy and eat. Ye come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread? And your labor for that which satisfies not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. A theme is fellowship with God and each other. That's the communion that the Lord's Supper visualizes, pictures. What we lost in paradise, regained in Christ. Perfection in everything. Fellowship with God and each other. The first thing that we see is come empty. That's the most amazing thing. It's free. It won't cost you anything. Second, listen attentively. That seems to be a recurring thing, and particularly in this passage. And third, participate delightfully. So, fellowship with God and each other. Come empty. Listen attentively. Diligently, it says in the text. And then participate delightfully. There is the way to that contentment and true delight without sin. So come empty. Come, everyone that thirsts, come ye to the waters. He that has no money, come ye, buy an ill and eat. Ye come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Three times says come. Verse 3 is again repeated, come. A little later in verse 5, it's strengthened by the word run. Come, 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 run. That's really what it says. Yeah, I got nothing to pay. I don't deserve it. Empty. Without money, without price. Don't plead your works, but my works. Yes, you remember what you've done, but also remember what I've done. Trust my son. Come. Remember me. That's why he says, this do in remembrance of me. So every time you remember your sins, confess them. Remember what Jesus not only said, but he did. It's his delight. It's his good pleasure. So hard for us to imagine, isn't it? Astonishing. To give to everyone who asks. everyone who hungers and thirsts and comes to Him to fulfill that hunger and thirst. Do you? Do you hunger for that and seek to have that fulfilled, that hunger and thirst in Christ and His righteousness, and be right with God? It says, come to the waters. What does that mean? To the waters. Well, that means the Lord Himself. We just sang it together. From the psalm we just sang, Jeremiah speaks about God being the fountain of living waters. But through Jesus. Because Jesus said in John 7:37, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believes on me, as the scripture said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. It'll spread to others. In other words, good news for bad people. Come. No money, of course. You have no money. You're bankrupt. But come. It's free. Come to him who cried, I thirst. I mean, if you know and you thirst him, remember, he also thirsted on the cross. Come empty. He paid the price, and he paid it in full. He paid the price. It says, buy without money, without price. Because it's priceless. Even if you would offer the whole universe as payment, it wouldn't do. As Peter says, not with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious, priceless blood of Christ. So we come plead His blood. My work, my name. Come buy wine and milk. Look at the pictures in these couple of verses. Wine to nourish the weak, the milk to nourish the weak. Wine is to cheer the heart and the mind. Waters to refresh. And bread, in verse 2, to feed. So milk, bread, water, wine. You couldn't think of more basic ingredients to give us what we need. To give the body what it needs, but picturing Christ, who is all that, to give the soul what it needs. All that we need is in Jesus and is Jesus. It's about fellowship. It's about relationship. That's what we crave. That's why so many unhappy people, because so many families are broken and so many people look at stuff to make them happy. It's about the insanity thing again. Now, if the world does all that, tries to pursue all that in the rat race, is one thing. But that we, as God's people, would do that would be another thing. If indeed He is all, Isaiah says, God through Isaiah, why do you then spend money for that which doesn't feed, which is not bread, and labor for that which satisfies not? It doesn't deliver. Why do you do that? As I said, if the world does it, but my people, God says, you're my people. We find the same in Jeremiah chapter 2. For my people have committed two evils. They've forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. There it's also mentioned. What Jesus and what God is. Fountain of living waters. Forsaken me. That's the one evil. And the other evil, hewed out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. And we know they're broken and we keep going back to see if there's any water in it. Why? The Lord says. Are you crazy? Apart from being sinful. Why do you? I mean, everyone is thirsting. As I said last Sunday, I said, it's one thing if you're in darkness and you have no light. You're doomed to stumble around in darkness. But if you walk in darkness and do have a light, as we saw in Isaiah 50 verse 10, use it. Switch it on. And follow its path. This is really the cry, as it were, the compassion. The Lord comes and speaks to us. Why do you spend money for that which is not bread, and labor for that which satisfies? Having found all in Jesus, why do you keep seeking at other things? You know it is a letdown. And maybe you're not necessarily seeking satisfaction in all these things, but maybe you're seeking it in your do's and don'ts. Maybe you are convicted of your sins and say, well, I have to pay for it. So Lord, have patience. Have patience. I will pay you what I owe you. Whether it's unrighteousness that keeps us from receiving this gift freely or self-righteousness, it makes no difference. In other words, don't come to the Lord's Supper because you had a good week. Don't stay away from the Lord's Supper because you had a bad week. Look away from both. To Christ. It's for His sake only. This do in remembrance of me. I paid all, so come empty. But then second, listen attentively. An amazing thing there in this verse. You won't see it if you just look at the English. It says, come, and then verse 2, it goes on to say, hearken diligently to me. And I said, listen attentively. You can translate it like that. But you know what it says literally there? The same word twice. Shema, Shema. Hear, hear. Public announcers went to make messages to the people at the towns and they would say, hear, hear. Or in politics, they would comment on that. It's a well-known phrase. Hear, hear. Shema. Remember the Shema, Deuteronomy 6 verse 4? Hear, O Israel, the Lord is one Lord. And then to love God above all. The same word as we saw last week in Isaiah 55 verse 10. Who is among you that fears the Lord, that obeys the voice of His servant? Actually it says Shema there. So to hear really is to listen. And to listen really is to obey. That's all one in Scripture. Here's the voice of His servant. Hear, hear. Hear to hear. Pay attention. Listen. Do as I command. Believingly obey. Just like Abraham did. See, Abram not only heard the voice of God, but he obeyed the voice of God. You can read about it in Genesis 12 and on. And that hearing is reinforced time and again in a peculiar way in verse 3. It says, incline your ear and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. Incline your ear. Well, it simply means turn your ears to your head, turn around and listen to me. So the word hearing is not just only seen. If your mom and dad call you and say, are you listening? And you look away from them, often maybe your mom and dad might say, look at me. Well, it's like incline your ear, turn your head. Let me see that you're really listening. Attentively. It can also mean stretch out. And again, that's that coming to God again. And your soul shall live. Shall live. You read in verse 3. Incline your ear and come unto me here, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. And you know what? The word mercies is also like the word loving kindness. Plural. Love and kindness. That's what mercy is. Undeserved grace. Is that what you really long for? At times, at least. To know Him, who is life. To know Him, who is good pleasure. With Him we sang our rivers of pleasure. Sinless pleasure. Why pursue sinful pleasures that are fleeting, that already during it don't deliver and afterwards make you feel bad? Here is a pursuit of a pleasure that makes you not feel bad afterwards. We're created for that. If you want to know Him and have fellowship with Him, hear His voice. Not only what He has done for you and in you, but also by means of you. Now, if you don't know anything about this fleeing to Christ daily, regularly, as a bankrupt sinner, without money, without price to offer anything, then what would you remember at the Lord's table? Remember what? It's not only that you remember that He did that some day back, but that He does it daily, remind you of that, and that you daily take refuge to Him and receive of Him free pardon every time. Even though sometimes you have a hard time believing it, you don't feel maybe any better. And you say, maybe I believe, Lord, help thou my unbelief. If you don't know any of that, why come to the Lord's table? To do what? To get just one bite of bread and a sip of wine? And if you do know something about, and then do it hearing and remembering Him, how He paid the price. You know, we're so used to pay for something that often when people are seeing something that you can pick up or get for free, they'll turn away and say, this is probably a catch. It's too good to be true. But if you would put the same thing there and put a $20 or $25 price tag on, they might buy it. Because somehow we think that when there's a price tag on it, it's worth more. Well, it's got a price tag on this, but you don't have to pay it. We don't have to pay it. Jesus did. Remember the Queen of Sheba? When she heard about the fame of King Solomon, it's the same as when we hear about the fame of Jesus and we say, oh, it's too good to be true. It's not real. It's got to be a catch. It's not real. These people just talking. You see, indeed, that often is the case when you think about man. When man promises something, when we say we do this or that, or we say the best of some item that we want to sell. But when God says something, who cannot lie, says something, why doubt? Verse 7, it says, abundantly pardon. Talking about my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. So don't go by what you think, but what God thinks. And how do we know what God thinks? Well, He wrote it in His Word. You see, and then when you do come, and you do pursue this, and do find it, I hope you may find something like the Queen of Sheba. When first she said, too good to be true. Later on she says, man, it's way better than I even heard. The half hasn't been told me. We won't know till we go there. The Queen of Sheba would have not known if she hadn't gone to Solomon. And Solomon's a picture of Jesus. It's not just a man, but there's a greater than Solomon, Jesus said. A greater than Solomon is here. So yes, we must consider our shortcomings, sins and whatever, and mourn for them, and be sad about them, especially considering that we sin not only against God as our Lord, but as our Heavenly Father. Sincere sorrow for sin, we heard that from the Catechism not long ago, but we must also that and may have that sincere joy, rejoicing in the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus, which is pictured in the Lord's Supper. Bread broken for sinners, like my body was. Wine poured in a glass that you may be cheered when his blood was shed, that he be drained so that we may be filled. And then, so if you've come empty and do come empty and continue to come empty, that's the, I mean, there's not a place or religion or activity that will welcome you like this. You go to any place, but take in any event, it'll cost you. This says, come empty. But listen attentively, how to come. And then, third, participate delightfully. If you come in this way, you come empty-handed, but you come at the same time understanding how you will be accepted. Confessing your sin, trusting in the righteousness that is provided, you will have delight. It might not be right away. The Lord is free in the way he does that. There are plenty of examples in Scripture and through the histories of the Christian world. Some sinners have been struggled with depression. Others have been cheerful. Some have learned it in a slow way, some in a sudden way. But the text goes on. This is what it says. Once you come and hearken diligently, hear, hear, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Eat that which is good. Let your soul delight itself in fatness. Let these words sink in a moment. But what does God say? Eat all the food and drink that God provides is good. Every good gift comes from the Father of lights. Everything is good in itself that God gives. The problem is not in God's good gifts, but in us, in our wrong receiving and using it. Actually, really, if you think about it, it's only the true believer that can truly enjoy it sinlessly. Begin to, at least, learn that. The unbeliever can never truly delight in it in a way that is pleasing to God and deep down to himself. Always crave for more. Because the true believer realizes it's undeserved. If a crust of bread and a glass of water is a miracle for a believer at times. It's not even about just here eating and drinking the bread and the wine at the Lord's Supper. As I said, it's only a small bite anyway. A little sip. What good does that do? But that's why you read in Hebrews how they abused the Lord's Supper, because they would eat and drink themselves full. totally missing the point. It's not about the amount of bread and wine that you consume. It's about what or whom it represents. All the bread in the world couldn't do it. All the wine couldn't do it. That phrase, eat ye that which is good. If you have your Bible open, the King James Bible has a couple words there in italics. The words, that which is in italics. So actually it says, eat ye good. So not only that which is good, but eat ye good or well or in the right way. So not about what you eat, or drink, or do. But how? Because all the food, plowing, it says in the Bible, the plowing of the wicked is sin. So the plowing of the righteous man is not sin. Eating and drinking without faith in Lord Jesus Christ is sin. Eating and drinking, believing in Jesus, doing all to the glory of God. Come empty, listen attentively. Eat well. Eat and drink rightly. Isn't that interesting? That's what Paul meant. He says, do all to the glory of God, whether you eat or drink. Whatever you do. Whatever you do, do to the glory of God. Then God is honored and pleased, and we as a byproduct are pleased as well. So everything that we consume upon ourselves is not pleased. Whatever we consume as unto the Lord is pleasing. That's why we have our wires crossed. Continue to go this way. Well, God says you are created that way. Simple as that. So the focus of all this is clearly spiritual, not physical. And he says, thirsting and waters and money and buying and eating and bread and wine and milk and all that doesn't have a physical purpose, even though that's included, but not limited to it. I think that's really what we should really focus on this morning. Spiritual. And that's reinforced by the following phrase, let your soul delight itself in fatness, not your body. Doesn't mean that the body may not delight, of course it may. But that's really the difference between the world and the true believer. The world has its body try to delight in what it can consume. The believer may have that, as I said. And more right to it. Because he has his soul delight into the Lord first. Let your soul delight itself in fatness. Verse 3, your soul shall live. Your body already lives. Well, it's dying, but our soul is dead. Unless you turn in repentance and faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, then our soul will live, and then our body truly begins to live. Soul and body. So not just here about satisfying our physical appetites, even though good in themselves, because God made them. God made both the good food and our bodies to enjoy them. He gave us tongues that can taste, nose that can smell and appreciate. There's nothing wrong with it. But if that's all there is, and our soul is not involved, we really have nothing. It's temporary. We're more than just body. We also have a soul, which means that both our physical and spiritual desires can be pleasing to God and to us only if they're in the right perspective, right with God. focus not in just what we eat and drink, but how. So eat what's good and do it in the good way, which is unto the glory of God. Psalm 84. And there's other psalms, but Psalm 84 verse 2 says, "My soul longs, even faints, for the courts of the Lord." Is that something you can relate to? Have you had that your soul longs to be with God? Fainting almost, for the courts of the Lord. It's the place where He's worshipped. And have fellowship with Him. And then it goes on, Psalm 84 verse 2, "My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God." My heart and my flesh. Both. That's how God created us. Because then a text goes on to say, "And let your soul delight itself in fatness." So the focus is on the soul, but also in delighting in fatness. Now, what does fatness mean? Well, in old culture, fatness meant that you were wealthy. Because poor people didn't grow fat. Maybe simple and plain, but that's how it is. Poor people had to work so hard, they were lean. Who were the ones that were fat? They were rich, wealthy, had others do the work for them. So fatness has both to do with the abundant supply and the consumption. Now, I'm not arguing that fat's good or necessary, but that's not the point. The point is this, that there's satisfaction, abundance, nothing lacking. Maybe people have much, many people have much without God. Yes, much. But the believer has everything, not just much. Body and soul, time and eternity. Another dimension to it. Because soul and body are created to live forever. Even though we get the mistaken idea that, oh, people die, so they get buried in the ground, it's the end of it. No, there's a resurrection. Psalm 36 verse 8, "They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the livers of thy pleasures." You know what that word means, abundantly satisfied? Ravished. Ravished. Abundantly ravished. Satiated. Fulfilled. Have you ever thought about the word fulfilled? Filled to full and overflowing. Actually, it can also mean intoxicated. It's almost like being drunk with the fatness of the house of God, but not in a sinful way. "And thou shalt make them drink of the rivers of thy pleasures." Is that something that you've begun to pursue in your life? Is that something you long for? You see, then your faith and your longing will be partially satisfied when you eat the bread and drink the wine, thinking about those things. Knowing that it's only one bite of that bread and one sip of the wine, and you know that that doesn't do anything. That won't save anybody. It will actually will condemn you if you do it without faith. That's where a cult examines herself and so partake. You see, if this is what you have begun to pursue, you've begun to respond to God's work in you to make you again what we were meant to be. Created and designed, as I said earlier, Psalm 37, verse 4, "Delight yourself also in the Lord." It says also, that means you too. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. That's what the text declares. God's word declares it. The Lord's supper table displays before us. May this focus on the Lord Jesus Christ be our feast this morning. Amen.